Beauty is also in the way that you carry yourself, the energy that you exude. And if you start feeling happy and confident or content with yourself even, and can bring that to the table, if people see that you feel comfortable in your imperfect skin, you give them a free card to do the same.
Welcome to Deeper Sex, where your hosts, Chiara, Will, and Ali, were three friends whose lives have been transformed by getting curious and creative about sex. This podcast is about what we've learned on our adventures. It's about how sex can help people heal and grow and deepen their relationships. So we want to help you connect with your own sexual energy, to communicate and build trust and confidence.
We're quite kinky, but don't run away just yet. Wherever you're at, I promise the best sex of your life can be in your future, not in your past. We do tell explicit stories about our experiences together, so please stop listening if you're not an adult. Otherwise, stick around, because we believe we've found our holy grail, and we hope you'll find yours too.
Welcome back to the podcast bed with Chiara, Will, and Ali. Today we are talking about a topic that has been important for me on my journey of discovery about who I am and what I feel comfortable with and what I had to work on, which is body image and how we sometimes, especially as women, we feel uncomfortable or not so sure about the looks that we have. Too curvy, not curvy enough, too much boobs, not enough boobs. I look older than what I should. I don't look old enough. If I'm younger, my body has changed because I've had children. And all of this negative thoughts often have an impact on your sex life, on your intimacy, on the relationship that you may be having with your partner. And so today we want to unpack what these feelings might be and maybe provide some tips of how at least the three of us, two women and a man here, have overcome these issues.
Yes, and where I'm coming from on this is the way that the joy that I get out of sex and sensuality is so determined by the mindset that I bring. And the very best sex happens when I am totally immersed in the situation, where I'm not distracted by my thoughts, where I'm able to feel completely comfortable in my skin. One thing that has really changed about that for me, one of the factors that has let me do that more and more over the years, has been getting rid of that baggage of worrying how I look and how I appear to other people. Am I enough? Am I fit enough? Am I hot enough? Am I sexy enough? Those thoughts that I just described are the unsexiest things to have in your head when you are trying to connect with your feelings and to connect with another person. But they're also so hard to get rid of. And they go right back into childhood, into whether we were able to feel like we were enough. Kids are horrible, especially bullying each other about body image. And then we're overwhelmed by this wave of media, this unrealistic world of how bodies are presented as how they are supposed to be. And it's taken me decades of my life to arrive in this place now where actually I am able most of the time to be in my skin. And it's such a wonderful place to be. But then one of the things that really saddens me is when we hook up with new people, there's so little connection really between, on the one hand, how people look, and on the other hand, how people feel about themselves. You can have it at both ends of the scale. You can have the most conventionally attractive, beautiful people who still don't feel enough in themselves. They're not present. They're not really there. They're not in that happy, positive energy where the best sex comes from. And you also have people on the other end of the scale who are not conventionally attractive, but for whatever reason, they have succeeded in accepting who they are and getting rid of their baggage. And I've had much, much nicer sexual experiences with people who are less conventionally good looking, but bring a beautiful energy to the situation. And it's really made me stop and think, reevaluate what it is that I'm looking for in sexual partners. And to be honest, the ability to drop it into their genuine sexual energy and to be present and to be comfortable in their skin is so much more of a factor in what makes someone attractive, somebody who could be on the cover of a magazine. A couple of weeks ago, we were at a party, and it was a play party, so people were hooking up. There was one woman there who was absolutely statuesque. She was well over 6 feet tall. She had a body that you would be not surprised at all to see in a top global magazine. She was hourglass-shaped, beautiful breasts, very feminine hips. Everything was where society would expect her to be. She was, unfortunately, also very arrogant and clearly quite vain, and was not interested in anything really other than getting everyone's attention and playing games and being quite narcissistic and manipulative. There was nothing sexy about her at all. What I always wonder in this situation is, how do you get from A to B? What is it that makes the difference between a person who is conventionally middle of the road and beats themselves up about it and feels very uncomfortable with their own image, and somebody who looks perhaps exactly the same but is able to show up with a sense of embodiment and comfort in their own self? Kiara, maybe in your own journey, I know that your sense of comfort in your own skin has changed over the years. You've arrived at this beautiful place now where you're able to be the life of the party and show up so self-possessed and so confident in how you look and who you are. Or it's not even confidence, is it really? Because it's not that you walk into a room saying or thinking to yourself, yeah, I look great. It's more you walk into a room feeling, I don't care anymore what I look like, but I feel great. How has that felt for you, that journey, and how did you get here?
It's a great distinction that you made there between feeling confident and feeling comfortable. There's lots of confidence coaches out there. I actually was myself one of those in the beginning of my coaching career, because background in sales, I thought that feeling confident in what you're selling gives you basically 80% of the sale already, and the rest is very simple to do. On my journey, I actually realized that it's not so much about feeling confident, but comfortable. So feeling comfortable, feeling okay with who you are, whether you have curves or whether you don't, whether you're older than the people in the room or you're younger and you might fear that you're inexperienced or not good enough, or you might feel that there are other more beautiful women according to your standard. But again, everything is subjective, right? I think what has made a big difference for me are a number of things that I worked on and I had to work on for myself. I wouldn't say work hard, but I had to do some work. And then a number of things that were dependent on the outer environment or on the other people. So maybe let's call it validation, but I don't think it's 100% validation. So in terms of the things that I had to work for and do, I've always been fairly healthy and sporty, but I've never really dedicated enough time to movement. And I don't mean that you need to run 10K a day or you need to lift God knows how many kgs in the gym every day, but doing some sort of movement on a daily basis, whether it's going for a walk with X amount of steps that you decide. Maybe you have a dog, so you already have to walk. Maybe it is going for a run because it's something that makes you feel free and fresh and maybe clear your head if you're a runner. Maybe it is a yoga class. I love yoga. I used to teach yoga, so maybe it could be that. maybe could be go to an aerobic class if you're into dancing, whatever it is that works for you. But doing some sort of movement with your body, one, it allows you to move the cells and generate happiness hormones. And then two, little by little, again, depending on how much effort and time that you have to put into this, they actually help you shape your body. And I've been on this journey of moving and training and exercising. And I found myself at the beginning of this year in a shape that I've never been in before. And being today 38, looking much better than what I was maybe 26 in terms of body shape, despite maybe having a few more wrinkles on my face. So definitely one of the things is putting in some work for yourself so that you become fitter and also you feel fitter. And trust me, the moment you start doing that, also people will start noticing and they will start commenting and noticing it and telling you, and that will also motivate you in doing it more. The second thing related to moving is obviously what you eat and what you put in your body. I come from an Italian family that loves pasta and cheese and pizza and ice cream, and I love all of those and I eat all of those. But I must say that in the last few years, I've started paying a little bit more attention to what I put inside my body in terms of food, maybe reading behind the labels. Not so much the amount of calories, how many additives, extra ingredients that are not natural are added to, I don't know, the fruit juice that I buy. And so maybe I only buy freshly squeezed orange juice instead of oranges that has lots of added sugar. So I started paying a bit more attention to the food that I put in my body. I started eating a little bit more healthy, a bit more vegetables, a bit more protein, maybe a little bit less carbs, without, you know, killing myself on going on massive keto diets. So that's part of the work that I've done. And then a little bit, it's part of what comes from the outside. So as your body starts changing, when you look at yourself in the mirror, I have a lot of clients that are ashamed of looking at themselves in the mirror, even when no one is around. And I have had periods like that. I wouldn't want to see my body in a mirror. So starting noticing how your body changes and starting noticing what you see there and the beauty of what you see there. And yeah, maybe you're a little bit rounder than what you think you should be. And maybe your boobs are a little bit bigger than what you think they should be. Or maybe they're not as big as you think they should be. But starting noticing, and the moment that you start seeing it yourself, then your partner will start noticing. And then it becomes a vicious circle. The more you notice, the more you embody, the more others see it, the more you put out that kind of energy. Everything is energy in the end. It's a ripple effect. And the result becomes bigger and bigger. To the extreme situation, I'm not saying I'm actually the same, where last summer I found myself at a festival where I noticed that it was normal for people to walk around naked without being judged, without being looked at in a predatory way or in a judgmental way. And then I was like, let me try this out. I've never been naked in public, but apparently it's okay here in this confinement of this particular festival. And then I realized how liberating this was, and going and swimming naked in the lake, how freeing this was, and how absolutely normal, and how nobody was giving a shit other than me feeling better. And so I embarked on this journey of feeling more and more comfortable and happy with what my body looks. And trust me, my body is not perfect according to maybe a magazine, but it's good enough for me, I'd say, for now.
Kiara, I think it's time that you tell everyone all about your boobs.
What about my boobs? My boobs are amazing. So I come from a family that's quite tall and big. I wouldn't say incredibly overweight, but slightly overweight. And in general, big boned, as we say in Italian. As I became a teenager and my boobs started growing, and they grew to a size slightly bigger than the average 32A. I don't think they were ever huge. However, I always felt very ashamed about them. And also because I developed them a bit later than when my girlfriend started having boobs, it was also, I don't know, a bit weird. On top of comments that I heard from certain members of my family that they did not look particularly great. So I was always very self-conscious. I would walk with my back hunched in a sort of attempt to hide them. And then maybe I was a little bit more round around my belly. So I've always tried to hide the torso area of my body until I became an adult and I finished university. And because this was such a big problem and burden for me, I convinced my parents to have breast reduction. And so I went through surgery, and I think they removed 1.5 kg in total from my boobs. And I went down to a 38D, I guess. And after the surgery, I lost a few kg naturally, like I lost some of the weight. But obviously, I was left with two big T-shaped scars under my nipples. And it's been more than 20 years, and I still have the scars, which to me are very visible. I have made peace with the scars a long time ago. I'm okay with it. However, I remember in the past when I would meet a new partner, I felt compelled in explaining as soon as they would see my boobs, in explaining, did you notice my scars? In every single instance, my partners had never noticed my scars. So it was something that I knew was there and therefore I could see, but none of them had ever really noticed. And I don't remember, how did it go when you saw my boobs for the first time? Did you notice the scars?
I was in such a happy place. I was not looking at the details, because your boobs are glorious. They're absolutely wonderful parts of your body. And they're perfectly proportioned to the rest of you as well. When you said that to me, you started explaining why the scars were there. I was wondering, first of all, I hadn't noticed them, but I was wondering, why is she explaining this to me? Because it didn't seem like anything that needed to be explained. It's the feeling that I took back at the time was, okay, she must be feeling self-conscious about her scars. What a pity, because she should be feeling so proud and so happy about looking so good and being so marvelously well equipped. And if I'm honest, it made me feel a little bit sad, because I wished that you could have felt about your boobs the way that I did, finally having access to them.
I think you've convinced me now, and I do feel very positively towards my boobs. We made friends.
But the way that you talk about this just now, if I can be frank about it, I'm not sure you've entirely made as much peace with your scars and your boobs as you explained it just now, because you have felt the need to explain your scars all of this time. Whereas if you were really completely made peace with it, it wouldn't come up at all until somebody asked, or even until somebody noticed. I remember you asked this question of Ali and her man the first time that we were together. It was quite late on in the night, and we were all relaxed and lying sprawled on the bed. And you said, hey guys, can I ask you a question? Have you noticed any scars on my body? And both of you said, quite genuinely, no, like where? You didn't even have any idea which part of her body she was talking about. This whole story just goes to show what a gulf of difference there is between the things that we think about our own body and the things that we're self-conscious about our own body and what it is that other people see. And in this case, it's a complete opposite. It's from a point of self-consciousness to a point of, oh my God, Kiara's boobs, they are amazing.
I think I really have made peace with it now, but maybe that really happened after the conversation that we had, the one that you just mentioned with Ali and her man. We are a constant work in progress. You always evolve and you always get to a different place. A year or two ago, I was in a very different place than where I was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years before. And maybe in 2 years' time, I'll feel differently again. But for sure, hearing the constant, I wouldn't call it validation, but hey, there's nothing wrong in there. And actually, unless you made me notice that, I don't even notice it. That definitely helped. Now, boobs and belly and asses, I think, are big topics for girls. But I'm sure that for men also, there are things that sometimes, for whatever reason, they are ashamed of, where maybe us, from a women's perspective, we wouldn't even notice or think about it. So I wonder, do you have any examples in your case of things that you don't like about your body or that you didn't like about your body?
As men, we are a little bit blessed with being more oblivious to our bodies. And you see that in the comparison between how much care women take of themselves in general to how much care men take of themselves. We get away with a lot more. Weight is a big one. I used to be a lot more ashamed of my belly than I am now. And dicks, obviously, also, I think that's a topic for a whole other episode, men's relationship with their penis. But in my case, it's my hair. When I was growing up in England, My hair was very red. These days it's blonde. Like, if I don't tell people I used to have red hair, they don't really know. So it's very different these days. But when I was growing up, my hair was red, and I got bullied and beaten up and singled out and made self-conscious about it terribly for years and years. That just embedded itself into my conditioning, and I never thought about it again. But I went through years and years of my life feeling self-conscious about having red hair, feeling that there was something somehow wrong with me for having red hair. And it wasn't for years and years that I actually examined this and realized that unexamined shame that I was carrying around with me was, in fact, absolute bullshit. It was a wonderful thing to let go of later on in life, and actually to be happy that I do actually have a fine head of hair and these days. But yes, just a real lesson to myself that there is just this monumental baggage that we carry around of ideas and fears and shame that were installed like bits of software that are still on 1.0 15 years after they really should have been updated or thrown out of the window. But it's also a really liberating feeling once you get rid of something like that, once you identify something that's been nagging as a source of negativity in your life for all these years without being looked at, and you get it out and you throw it out the window. There's such a sense of possibility. It's like, what else have I been carrying around all of this time about myself, about my body, that I can get rid of and suddenly feel unburdened of a weight that I'd forgotten I was even carrying?
I guess that's when you start learning to walk around naked and obviously in places where it's allowed.
Listening to your stories and thinking about my own journey, what we can talk about here is redefining what is sexy actually. Is sexy being picture perfect, having the perfect body, living up to certain standards, or is sexiness being comfortable and feeling good in your own skin? Proud. If you bring that to the table, that is sexy. Being able to have fun with things, being light, exuding a sense of comfort and confidence, but not the cocky one. That is being sexy. Ask any man who has a naked woman in the room. The fact that she is standing in front of him being naked and trying to seduce him, is he looking at whether she has a picture perfect body, or is he enjoying the sexiness and the sensuality and the bareness and the guts that she has to be there in that moment? I think the answer is obvious.
There have been a couple of experiences, and I'm going to talk a bit now about the non-monogamous and swinger world, which we spend part of our time in, as well as being in our relationships. But I want to be clear that all the lessons here that we're talking about are actually universal for everyone who wants to show up in their sexual energy, wherever they're going to be with it. There have been a couple of situations where we have met people who we had the opportunity to play with in the swinger world. When we first met them, or when we first saw their pictures, the reaction was, no thanks. I'm not particularly attracted to this person. There have been times where we've even met people a couple of times and we've enjoyed their company and found that they were interesting, and especially found that they were embodied and happy and confident in exactly the way, Ellie, you just described. That has tipped the balance into situations where we have then gone on to play with them, and in several cases had the most wonderful experiences, because what we saw on the surface, just purely aesthetically, in fact had almost nothing to do with the quality of the sexual connection and the fun that we could have with them later on. I've had to do some quite serious soul searching about this, because I realized how superficial I was being when I was evaluating other people as to whether I wanted to play with them or not, make myself be much more open-minded about what it is that I'm looking for and where good sexy energy comes from. And it's really not superficial in that way. But you can flip that round in the opposite direction as well and think, if I'm able to much more broadly widen my horizons of who might be fun to play with? What does that mean for what other people might think about me? If I'm looking at myself and my own image as being only aesthetically good enough for this set of people, am I wrong about that as well? If I show up with a different kind of embodied energy, am I suddenly good enough for anyone or good enough for a much wider range of people than I thought I was? Am I beating myself up much more than I should? And I'm sure that this is true. But Kiara, coming back to what you said about looking in the mirror, mirrors don't tell the truth. Mirrors show us a picture which go into our eyes and then get filtered horrifically by our own baggage and our own expectations. And you mentioned the thing just now about, well, maybe I've got more wrinkles than I would like. That is something that has not even once occurred to me in looking at you. But it's a part of your own avatar for yourself that you carry around within. And I'm sure that masses of people have their own version of the same thing.
I was just making an example. I actually don't think I have wrinkles. I am quite proud of it.
Okay, good. But your story about the festival and becoming comfortable with nakedness there is a really important one, because it reminded me that we get 99% of our feedback about what we look like through our own filters by looking in the mirror, and we get hardly any actual feedback from the real outside world. And what you did in that situation was make a brave choice to try something, and that then gave you a big bucket of feedback from the outside world, which is, well, actually, you look fine and you look great. I think that's one of the reasons why we walk around with this baggage about body image all of the time, is that we're doing all of our analysis about what we look like inside our own heads with completely imperfect and biased and shame and ego-driven filters on, and we just don't get the feedback from others. There are two sets of feedback that I think can be useful to people. One set is from the non-monogamous world, and the other set actually happens inside relationships. If you are a couple who is interested in dipping your toes into the non-monogamous world, perhaps you've been together for 5 years or 10 years and you're interested in opening the relationship in some way, maybe playing with other couples, maybe just going to swinger parties and only interacting with each other, or just being in public, you will suddenly go from a situation in which only your partner ever gives you feedback about what you look like, and maybe they've said it a million times and so they've stopped saying it, to a situation in which you will suddenly be getting hundreds of new data points to inform you what you really look like. And most people, in my experience, find they get a lot more attention and a lot more success and a lot more positive feedback from this whole new crucible of discovery about what people actually think of you than they would ever have known before. That's certainly been the case for me. I had no idea I was going to have any success in the swinger world, but then suddenly you walk into these parties and boom, all of the attention is out there. But the other dimension of this is that inside couples, within relationships, we often stop telling each other what we like about each other. Either we've said it before a million times, or we just get out of the habit of saying it. Remember that what we're up against here is a lifetime of conditioning, from childhood bullying to social media and the comparisons that we're making. So our brain is set in this view of what we are and what's not good enough about ourselves. It's going to take data point after data point, piece after piece of feedback, for your brain to gradually, slowly turn around towards a truthful view of what you are. So maybe you get that from the outside world, but if you're in a couple, if you're in a relationship, when was the last time you told your partner, hey, you're looking great, or I really like your chest, or your ass, or your eyes, or the way your hair is, or the way you smile? And that's a habit that's really worth reinforcing. I've noticed this dramatically in myself, the difference between relationships. And in a previous relationship, I was in a situation where I knew that my body was improving because I was working out a lot. I changed my diet radically and I was losing weight and I was putting on muscle. And I was looking in the mirror and starting to notice, okay, I look better than I did last year. But I had a partner who was very reluctant to say anything nice about me visually. And I brought this up a few times and said, hey, look, I can see that I'm looking good, but I don't hear this from you at all. Am I going mad? Am I imagining this changing? But because of the dynamic between us, the feedback couldn't be given. And in my current relationship with you now, Chiara, we tell each other all of the time that we look great. And specifically, and also authentically and truthfully, and we know between us that when I say something about you is looking great, that's because something just struck my eye and gave me a wow feeling in my mind. I've noticed this over the time we've been together that I hardly believed it to begin with. There was so much resistance in my mind to thinking, this can't possibly be true that I look good. It's just me. It's just this same old me that's been here all of these years. But day after day, week after week, month after month, those little pieces of feedback have started to stick up to the point where now I feel so much more comfortable in my skin than I used to. And I also have the sense that this is here to stay. It's not like a validation drug that I'm going to need to keep having piped into my veins in order to feel good about myself. It feels like those years of conditioning have gone away. In that sense, the kind of magical recipe is a combination of actually doing something about your body, where that needs to happen, sorting out your exercise and your diet and sleep and stress and all those other things that affect you, which are things that we all know that we should do anyway. Alcohol as well is another really big one. But that's not even the main thing, because the problem we're dealing with here is not mainly what we really look like, it's what we think we look like. And the key to that is experimenting, inviting feedback, getting feedback, and doing your best to let it really sink in.
One part is receiving feedback from your partner and your surroundings, but another thing is also receiving feedback from yourself without sounding too much of a self-help thing, but learning to look in the mirror and actually look at what you appreciate or like about yourself instead of just focusing on your dislikes or what you think is ugly, but try and look yourself in the mirror and observe what is beautiful about you. Everyone has something beautiful about themselves, their eyes, their lips, their hair, the way they carry themselves, their ass, their toes. I don't care what it is. Start somewhere, find a couple of things and start focusing on them and see if you can make that grow and start appreciating more of what you have. Try and get a realistic picture of what beauty is, because beauty is not what we have been conditioned to by magazines, social media, etc. Go to the beach, go to a naked spa, expose yourself and see what is reality. Because reality is actually really fucking beautiful. It's just we have been conditioned that these beautiful, unachievable, airbrushed, Photoshop, whatever not, is beautiful. But is it really? Beauty is also in the way that you carry yourself, the energy that you exude. And if you start feeling happy and confident or content with yourself even, and can bring that to the table, and that is also a gift giving to others, right? If people see that you feel comfortable in your imperfect skin, you give them a free card to do the same.
I have a lot of other female clients that have had children and for a reason or another haven't regained the exact shape that they had before. And I know that very often they almost feel guilty about it and they feel ashamed of their body. And in some cases, it might be one of the reasons why if they have sex, they prefer to keep the lights off, or they're actually having less sex because they feel ashamed of showing their body. Now, I haven't had any children, so I can't speak for that. But Ali, you have. And so I know that a lot of our listeners are men and women, but women in couples. And so if they find themselves in that situation where they feel like their body has changed and not gone back, quote unquote, to what it was before, of course, because you've created a human being that came out of you. What suggestions or what would you have to tell them?
A lot of things happen in a woman's body besides the fact that physically it changes. There's also a lot of hormonal stuff going on, and adding a child to a relationship adds a lot of stress and different worries. And that also, you take all of that into the bedroom. Again, it's important to keep healthy and active, but also I think important in your partnership that you're in this as a partnership, and that you keep also that the male partner keeps complimenting and keeps focusing on what is attractive and what is beautiful, and that you learn to accept that your body has changed. It doesn't mean that you're less beautiful. You can work with your body, but also be realistic about the time that it takes. You don't achieve results in a day or two. Nobody, people that are overweight or people that are underweight or women that have just given birth, it all takes time. I think it's about starting to work so that you're going to achieve a goal further down the line. And also be vocal about it. Talk to your partner about it. Don't be so ashamed and stop hiding yourself.
I would say also believing what your partner tells you. I remember in the past I would get a compliment from an ex of mine, and I would say, oh, but you're just saying this because you love me. In those moments where I didn't think I had a beautiful body. And he was saying, no, but I genuinely believe that you're beautiful and I like XYZ about your body. Very often it might be frustrating for men that do compliment their partner. So maybe sometimes believing and accepting the compliments that we are receiving. One of the things that has changed for me, I've learned to accept feedback in general, but accept compliments instead of discarding them. Oh, you look very pretty today. Oh, I have all these bags under my eyes. No, thank you so much. I didn't have a great night. So actually, I'm very glad to hear that you think that I look great. These tiny little things, I think, can make a very big change in the long term if you train yourself to hearing them and accepting them. The other thing we're talking about, having children and saying, oh, my body hasn't gone back yet to what it used to be before. You have created the most amazing miracle that, you know, a human being can create. You're not the same person as before. And I'm pretty sure between yourself and your partner, you're happy that it happened. So appreciate how your body has changed to enable you to create that. And instead of judging the stretch marks that are left on your tummy, but appreciating them and acknowledging them, because they are what they enabled to give birth to your beautiful child is an amazing thing that a lot of people don't think about.
Which hopefully was a result of a very hot, sexy session, by the way. Another thing is maybe not only focus on the way you look, but actually how you feel, because how you feel makes all the difference. We are born with a certain set of looks, and of course we can change to a certain extent our bodies by diet and exercise, but it's how we feel. When you start working on your body in terms of changing your diet and exercise, you'll feel that you're working towards a goal, you're achieving something. So you also bring that to the table, right? So it's not only so much about how you look.
There's actually something that came to my mind that's very important. Speaking from how you feel and acknowledging what's happening to you and to your body. I was talking earlier about trying to exercise a little bit more and getting the steps in. But believe me, and I am the living proof, the moment that you start having sex more often and for longer than you were used to, your body will change and you will lose weight. And oh boy, how much weight I lost after I met Will. So yeah, I think you should take that into consideration as well and try it out for a few months.
Amen to that. Yeah, that's another virtuous circle. The better you feel in yourself, the more sex you have, the better your body gets. And so around it goes. One of the things that has really helped for me in actually improving how my body is being much more systematic about it. For years and years, I would try one particular kind of diet, or I get really into one particular form of exercise. So I'd run marathons, so I got skinny and my legs got enormous. And then I was boxing, and so I got upper body strength, but not so much of the cardio in there. But doing one thing and that you love and sticking with it year after year, especially full body work, calisthenics, anything which takes care of your whole body in a balanced way and that you really enjoy doing and can stick with forever, makes a huge difference. The other thing that made a huge difference for me was getting some blood work done and figuring out what was happening with my hormones.
Additionally, no doubt that getting in shape or feeling good about your body, changing your diet to, in general, a healthier lifestyle makes a huge difference on your mood, your physical presence, etc. But also, besides getting comfortable in your own skin and getting comfortable in what you wear, I think especially for women, we want to look sexy. And yeah, we might not look like a magazine cover, but go out and find some underwear or a dress or that you feel good in, that you feel that you look good and sexy in, also makes a huge difference.
Actually, you're right. It's a very valid point. I've always used fairly plain, blunt underwear because it needed to be practical and maybe not visible under my clothes. But when we embarked on our journey together, I decided to spice up my underwear drawer a little bit. And it really made a difference because wearing something lacy, a different color than what you're used to, can make a difference in how it makes you feel. And Will, you were talking earlier about that first time that we went to the Singers Club together, and I found myself having to walk around in lingerie in a public place for the first time. The fact that I had some red lingerie that I was really proud of and I really liked and I really felt comfortable in made a massive difference in the way that I felt I could walk around the place and project my energy and keep my head high and be stable on my heels. And probably I wouldn't have felt that way if I was wearing a sports bra and, I don't know, white pair of panties.
Yeah, I even do it to the extent that I can find an outfit that I think is fun. And then I play around with the persona that I become. I dive into another personality and I can sometimes be a little bit more naughty or outgoing or confident than I would normally be. And that is super fun and liberating and sexy. Sometimes I walk home at the end of the night and I thought, ooh, damn, who was I? But that was hot.
So to recap today's lessons, there's this wonderful place where you can get to where you are happy and confident in your skin. And that's the place where you are going to enjoy sex and sexuality the most. It's also the place where you are going to be at your best in the eyes of other people when you're not lost in your own baggage of body shame and body self-image. One of the key ingredients in getting there is going to be to actually do something about the things that need to have something done about them. Maybe that you should get more exercise, that you should fix your diet, that you should be drinking less. Some real genuine progress is the foundation of genuinely feeling that you are in your skin and in a happy place there. But then after that, what you're dealing with mainly is not the reality of what your body is. It's all of that false, ego-driven, shame-driven baggage that you're carrying around with you. The way that we can chip away at that bit by bit is through feedback, putting yourself in situations where you are going to get reflected back, not from the mirror, but from the outside world of real people, what you actually look like. And that feedback is going to be positive. And if you're in a lifestyle world, that can come from other people who you are interacting with and playing with. But if you're in a monogamous couple, that can come from inviting and giving genuine, real, authentic, positive feedback to your partner that bit by bit, day by day, I promise you, will sink in and make a difference.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you're craving for more, you can grab our free guide, 10 phrases to help you start deeper conversations with your partner. You will find the link in the show notes. We also have a beautiful workshop running these days where we focus on learning sensuality and soft touch. So if you're interested in learning more about this or coming to the next one, then just feel free to reach out to us. You'll find our contact details in the show notes. And if you have any questions, topic suggestions, or simply you would like to share your own experience, maybe even anonymously, do send us an email or connect with us on social media. And if you enjoyed today's conversation or learned something new or something useful, don't forget to subscribe or even give us a 5-star rating. The more you guys do that, the more you can help us help others in similar situations. Thank you again for listening and see you in the next episode.